Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nazir Daf Chof. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you'll find in the middle of Daf Chof. You will count, if you prefer, 15 lines from the top, and there you see it. Before we go into the Gemara text itself, we glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads Machlokes Tanoim Kemo Shemuva Bebraisa BeGemara. We will see a Tanaic controversy, and we'll see this in a Tanaic source quoted in the Gemara itself. Bameh Cholkin BeShamai UBeis Hillel BeInyan Mahu Nechshav HaKosha BeEdus. So we're going to have a Mishnah in which the issue of contradiction in testimony arises, and there will be a later Machlokes Tanoim, or a later Tanaic discussion regarding the earlier Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, the Mishnah. Mi shehoyu shtei kitei edim me'idos oso. Or someone concerning whom two sets of witnesses testify. Elu me'idim shenozar shtayim. One set of witnesses, and the minimum amount of witnesses necessary for testimony is two. Two people constitute a set of witnesses. So you have one set saying that he accepted two Nazirus periods. He vowed to observe two Nazirus periods. V'elu me'idim she'nozar chomesh. And the other set of witnesses testify that he accepted upon himself five Nazirus periods. Beis Shammai omrim nechloko ha'edus v'ein ka Nazirus. Beis Shammai says there is a situation here of contradiction in testimony, and we dismiss all of the witnesses, and there is no Nazirus. There is no testimony of Nazirus. Ubeis Hillel omrim yesh bichlal chomesh shtayim. One set had said two, the other said five. The one who says five, well, within five, you certainly have two. It's just that five is a larger number. So there is agreement that there is at least two Nazirus observances to be accepted here. So Beis Hillel says that Yesh Bichlal Chomesh Shtayim Shein Nazir Shtayim. There is contained within five two. So the two sets of witnesses agree that there are two Nazirus periods. Just one set added a little more. So the result of that is there is to be observed on the individual's part two Nazirus periods. We continue now in the Gemara. Masnisin delo ki hai tana. Our Mishnah in presenting the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is not like the following presentation of that Machlokes. In our Mishnah, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued concerning the results of two sets of witnesses offering contradictory testimony. And now we have another Tanaic source, Desanya, Rabbi Shmuel ben Oishar, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Loi nechleku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel al shtei kitei edim, achas omer shtayim v'achas omer chomesh. There is no argument between Beis Shammai Beis Hillel in a case where we have two sets of witnesses, one set saying two periods of Nazirus, and the other set saying that the individual accepted five periods of Nazirus. Sheyesh bichlal chomesh shtayim, that within five there is two. So there is agreement that this individual will be bound to observe two Nazirus periods. Alma nechleku, when is there a controversy between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? The controversy being to dismiss the testimony altogether or to accept the lowest common denominator. When does their machlokis arise? Al kas achas, when you have one set of witnesses. There are some total of two people here. Echad Omer Shtayim, one witness says that the individual accepted two Nazirus periods. The Echad Omer Chomesh, and the other witness says, no, that individual accepted five Nazirus periods. Shebe Shammai Omrim Nechleko Eidu. Son Be Shammai says, we dismiss these witnesses, we dismiss their testimony. Ube Silu Omrim Yesh Bechlau Chomesh Shtayim, that contain within five Nazirus periods, there is two. So we don't throw them out. We say that as a result of these two fellows testifying, the defendant will have to observe two Nazirus periods. Omar Rav, Hakol Moidim Vemoine. Everyone agrees, Rashi says, that Nechluka Edusan, everyone will agree that we will dismiss the testimony as a contradictory, not reliable. Now, Rav just said Hakol Moide B'moine. That in and of itself, we don't know what Mone is. Omar Rav Chamo the Rav Chisto, Maika Omar. What is meant by Mone? Now, literally, the word Mone means counting. So everyone agrees when you have a counting. At this point in the Gemara, you'll notice triangles appear, and on the side, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, a topic heading with a structural note, the triangles featured as a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take discussion. So with the point facing up, Nisyonis Lahazbir Divrei Rav Shamar Kol Moedim B'moineh Shenechlika Edusan. These are attempts to explain what he said. Then when the triangle is inverted, it introduces the chios, rejections of whatever was said. So, Rav Chamo asks Rav Chisa what was meant by Hakol Moide B'moine. I leimo echad omer chomesh velo shtayim, v'echad omer shtayim velo chomesh. If one witness is saying that the defendant accepted five Nazirus periods and not two, and the other witness says he accepted two and not five, well, that can't be what I need Rav to tell me, that we throw them out, that we dismiss them. It's obvious that they're contradictory in testimony. And I don't need Rav to tell me the obvious. So what did Rav mean when he said, I call Moide B'moine? One witness says, one, two. V'echad omer sholosh arba chomesh. And the other witness says, three, four, five. Well, if that's what Rav was saying, and hence, in a case like that, we would dismiss them, the Gemara rejects this. And what we're doing in our presentation is we're presenting the Gemara in accordance with the Tosfos commentary, Dibor Maschil Hochi Gar Sinan. So the Gemara rejects that. Hosu lomali, hashto yesh loma chamirta omar, ein lo tzorech lahazkir. Let me reread that. Hashto yesh loma chamirta omar, kilta lo kol shekein. The individual that says that he observed, that he accepted three, four, and five, it's obvious to him that the fellow had already accepted one and two, had accepted two Nazirus periods, and he's coming in and adding that he's not chayav only two, he's chayav five. So he is in effect in agreement with the first witness that said one, two. There simply is no reason for him to restate that. And therefore, there is no hakosha, there is no contradiction in testimony. Amri b'marava, ein hakosha b'moine. The case we just saw, in fact, is not an example of contradiction in testimony. And we look in the Tosfos commentary, Amri b'marova, ein hakoshe b'moine, devadai ki yomar idochs, it's certain when the other, when the second witness said, sholosh v'arba v'chomesh, lo mi eight, shelo omar hano derachas u'shtayim, he's not coming to exclude the fact that the defendant had said one and two. Therefore, there is no hakosha, and as far as the way we presented the Gemara, Rav's original testimony, Rav's original statement, Hakol Moide B'moine, if you are going to insist on learning that as everyone agrees B'moine, that we dismiss their testimony, so we don't find an example of a case of Mone that everyone would agree that we dismiss their testimony. If anything, if you're going to say that Mone is, as we said, one witness says Achas Shtayim and the other witness says Shalosh Arba Chomesh, it appears from the end of the Gemara that that would be an example of acceptable testimony to the extent that the defendant will have to observe two Nazirus periods. And as you can see, that completes the third perek of Maseches Nozir. Now we begin B'siyata D'Shmaya, the fourth perek, perek Misha Omar. On this side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei, a topic heading, followed by a Mivne, a structural note. And we read what we've included on the side. And by the way, if you need to access a marked Gemara, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. The Nosei reads, Echod Mekabel Nazirus, V'chaveru Shoimoi, V'gamhu Roitzelios Nazir, U'matbis Berishon. One individual vows to be a Nazir. A bystander hears and says, I too. He says something, and what exactly he says we'll see when we get into the text. He says something indicating that he too wants to be a Nazir. Under the Mivneh heading, we highlight the double underline, which is one of our series markings that you see in the text. We highlight the expression Hareini Nazir, and we've written Dugmoi Shel Kabolos Nazirus Umatvis Hasheni Achrov, different cases of someone vowing to be a Nazir, and a second party. We'll see the Mishnah introduces us to cases where a person, you have a husband and a wife involved, and they attached themselves to that first vow, that first Nazirus. The Mishnah. Mi shoma hareini Nazir. Someone said, I vow to be a Nazir. Vilshoma chavero viomar vani. And Rashi points out that even though the Mishnah says chavero, there are actually two people standing there. And one of them says vani, and the other one says vani. Kulam Nazirim. They're all Nazirim. So we have an original vower, and as far as the literal example of the Mishnah, you have two bystanders. Total of three people. Hutor Harishon, Hutru Kulon. If the original vower, the Rishon, the first one, has his Nazirus Hutar. Hutar is absolved. An individual approaches a Talmud Chacham, a Torah sage, and the Torah sage, after a discussion with the vower, concludes that the vower wants to rescind the vow. The Torah sage has the power to do exactly that. So if the first vow is undone, so they all are undone, and there's no more Nazirus here. Hutar Ha'achron, if the last one is undone, then Ha'achron Mutar V'Kulam Asurim. The last one is allowed to drink wine. He's not a Nazir because he sought out absolution, but all those that preceded him are forbidden. Now we want to note that the Gemara later on Daf Chof Aleph from an Aleph, will deal with the question of when a subsequent individual attaches himself to a previous vow, is the subsequent individual attaching himself to the original vower's vow or to the one that immediately preceded him? That, as we say, will be a discussion later. Omar Hareini Nazir V'shoma Chavero V'omar Pi Kefi V'sairi Kesairo. person accepted this a Nazir's vow, a second fellow hearing it reacted with this phrase. And this phrase, we could translate it, but we'll wait for the Gemara to offer a more complete explanation. He simply says, my mouth is like his, and my hair is like his. And that binds him to Nazirus. That binds the second fellow to Nazirus. A third case, Hareini Nazir v'shomo ishto v'yomro avani. Man, a married man, says, I want to be a Nazir, and his wife standing by says, I too. Mefer es shelah, the husband can absolve her of her Nazir's vow, the shelah kayim, but his own Nazir's vow remains intact. Here, the woman initiates. Hareini Nazira, v'shoma baila, v'yomar vani. The woman, after initiating Nazirus, the husband hears it and he says, I too, eino yochol lahafer. He cannot absolve her of the vow. By his saying vani, I too, he in effect is substantiating, recognizing and substantiating her vow. Well, once a husband upholds, substantiates a wife's vow, that's called hakoma. He can't be mefer it. He can't obliterate it. He can't absolve it anymore. So, therefore, we see he cannot be mefer. Hareini nazir ve'at v'yomra amen. A man says he's going to be a nazir, and he says, and will you too be a nazir? He says to his wife. And she says, Amen. Amen is an acceptance of the vow. Mefer es shelah v'shelah kayim. Similar to case 3, we see here that the husband can undo it, and his vow remains intact. Hareini nazira ve'ata. Here the woman initiates, and she says she's going to be a nazira. And the husband is asked, and you too, v'yomar amen, and he says yes. He confirms it. Eino yochol lahafer. The husband can no longer undo, absolve the vow. The Gemara. Now, before we learn the Gemara, we glance at the side under the Nosei, the topic heading. We read, Machloikis Amoroyim. We're going to see a Tanaic disagreement. Kamo Anoshim Yecholim Litfois Borishon. How many people can attach to the original vowers, Nazirus? Shelazu Toloi Vityachasut Liinyan Toichde Dibor. This question, you'll find, is connected or dependent on the issue of what is considered within the time frame. Toch kedei dibor, within a matter of time of speech. It's a somewhat abstract idea, but if you react to something that someone said before you, there has to be a sense of attachment that you're not speaking in a vacuum. How do we establish your speech to be attached to that which was previously said? That depends on a time frame called Toch Kedei Dibor. Let's now turn to the Gemara. Yosef Reish Lakish Kamed Rebuta Nesia V'Yosef V'Ka'omar. Reish Lakish was seated in the presence of Rebuta Nesia, and Reish Lakish said, regarding that which the Mishnah said, Kulam Nazirim. You can see in the Mishnah, second line from the top, after you had the original fellow vow, then you had one guy's second fellow say Vani, a third guy said Vani, and the Mishnah said they're all Nazirim. So Reish Lakish says, V'hu shitfisu kulon b'soich kedei dibor. This is true if all of them attached themselves within the amount of time that's called toch kedei dibor, v'kama toch kedei dibor, how much time is that? Kedei she'elas shalom. The amount of time it takes for one to issue a proper greeting upon meeting someone. V'kama kedei she'elas shalom. Well, how do you define that? Kedei she'omer, enough time that Kedesh Shomer Shalom Talmid L'Rav, enough time for a student who meets his Torah teacher to say Shalom Alecha Rabbi. So you have a three-word time frame. Let's make the assumption in this current discussion that these bystanders, these individuals that are hearing the original vow, want to attach themselves to the original speaker. Let's again make that assumption, because as we said, the Gemara on Daf Chof Aleph is going to investigate when one attaches himself. Does he attach himself to the original speaker or to the one immediately before him? In order to appreciate this discussion for the time being, let us make the assumption that they are interested in attaching themselves to the original speaker. So now we look at the Tosfos commentary toward the bottom, about eight lines up from the bottom. Yosef Reb Shimon Lachish Kamei Reb Yehuda Nasiya V'Yosef Mikomar V'Ushit Bisoy Kulam B'Sok Dibor Kedem Meforsh V'Holech, as the Gemara explains, Kedeshe L'Sholem Talmud L'Rav, the amount of time it takes for a student to greet his teacher, Dehainu Shalom Olecha Rabbi. Those are three words, which are Gimel Tevis. Hachinami, so too in our case, Yecholim Shloish Anoshim V'Hakvis Aksmon Barishon Shinodar Benozir. If it's a matter of three words, is considered attached, and you have people that want to attach themselves to the first speaker, so that will be enough, that there will be enough time for three people to get in on the Nazirus. You'll end up having a total of four Nazirim, the original speaker, and three attachments. Shekol Echod Omar Va'ani Heim Shalosh Tevos. If you have three people saying Va'ani, you have a total of three words. Dafilu Achron Toch Kedei Dibor Min HaRishon. Even the third bystander is within the time frame of speech of the first person. Avol Haravi Eino Yochel LaHakbis Atzmo BoRishon. A fourth person cannot attach himself to the original speaker. Afilu Omar Vamni. Even if all he says is Ve'ani, Shekvar Shohu Kedei Dibor Min HaRishon. There was already a time lapse of Kedei Dibor from the first speaker, from the original vow. Lekach lochayel Nazirus Aravi. Therefore, on a fourth bystander, there won't be Nazirus. Now we turn back to the Gemara. Omar Lei, Rav Yehuda Nasiya, who heard Reish Lakish's presentation, he says, Tuv Lo Shafkis Revocha Latamida. Literally, it would mean you have left no room for the student. Now that's just a literal translation having very little meaning, but we glance at the bottom of the Tosfos where we left off. Omar Lei, that's reviewed in Asiya, reacted to Reish Lakish, says Sulo Shafkis Revocha Latamida. Klomar. Talmid Shishoma Li Echod Shinoda Benozir. A student that heard someone saying, I want to be a Nazir. Bikesh Lomar Vani. And he wants to say, Vani means an I too. Ubatoch Kachoive Rabbi Lefonov. And in the meantime, the individual who wanted to join up, well, his Rav, we can call him the bystander's rabbi, walks by. Vuchayev Lakdim Lo Shalom, Velomar Shalom Alecha Rabbi. And out of the proper etiquette, the student should first say these three words greeting his rabbi. Vehem Shalosh Tevis, that's three words. Shuv lo yo'il lahakbis benozirim yomar v'ani. That bystander whose rabbi just walked by will not be able to attach himself to the individual vowing to be a nozir. Why? Shikvar shoha kedei dibor, because the three-word time frame has already lapsed by his having greeted his rabbi. V'ein zu svaran. It's not reasonable to think that just because someone's rabbi is walking by, he should lose the opportunity to attach himself to someone's nazirus. Elavave gam horavi nitvas. Now this is reviewed in Nesiah's point of view, that a fourth person can also join up. In other words, with even though three words lapsed, that doesn't preclude a fourth one from joining up. So in the case of the student first greeting his Rav, he will be the one to join up if he says Vani. And in the case of a string of bystanders, you can have four additional people attaching themselves to an original Nazir vow. And that's what we see here in the Tosfos, that definitely the Revi is also Nitfas, is also attached. Hayo v'lo shal klal le'achar k'dei dibor. He didn't delay at all after the k'dei dibor time frame lapsed. Elo li'alter o li'achar k'dei dibor amar vani. Rather, immediately after the k'dei dibor time frame, he said vani. Aval ha'chamishi v'aleinu nitvas shok tzas achar k'dei dibor. Rabbi Yonasi is willing to concede, though, that a fifth person, that's already too much time. We see something, by the way, this is getting off the top a little bit, but just a word of say general living, which is certainly a major aspect of Torah learning. You see this in Maseches Nedarim, Maseches Nazir, the concept of precision with regard to speech. And that's meant to be a general statement. Precision has to do, as in Maseches Nedarim, you can see so many examples of precision of speech, proper choice of words. And here you see the concept of speech and timing, how significant time is. Halacha places a tremendous amount of emphasis on the issue of time. And when we speak of time, it can come down to something that is basically a fraction of a second. How long does it take? Take out a stopwatch with hundredths of second, a digital stopwatch with the chance to see, the ability to see hundredths of seconds, and see how long it takes to say Vani. And if you miss that by one extra Vani, you didn't say Vani in a fourth position, but you were the fifth guy, so you don't get attached. Fourth guy gets attached, fifth guy doesn't. And you know, do you realize the world of difference between those two guys, even though they're dealing with a matter of a fraction of a second? That is a lesson in life concerning the significance of even very, very negligible amounts of time and what effect they can have. A person who becomes a Nazir has to observe a minimum of 30 days of abstention from wine and abstention from defilement to the dead and haircuts, and after conclusion of which he brings sacrifices, and if he becomes defiled in the interim, he has another set of sacrifices. A whole world that goes with the guy that locked in on time in the fourth position. Guy in the fifth position that says, Vani, none of this applies. Well, that having been said, we do see a machlokes between Reish Lakish and Reb Yehuda Nesiah concerning a fourth bystander who says Vani. And in our marked Gemaras, you can see the Tosfos that we read, we highlighted the controversy with a diamond around the word Horavii. You had Reish Lakish's presentation that said Eini Yochel Adfis Atzmo, and then Reb Yehuda Nesiah's presentation that the Ravi is Nitfas, is connected. We continue on to Daf Chof Aleph. Let us point out ahead of time that we will be continuing a good way down Daf Chof Aleph, down practically down to the end of Omid Aleph, of Chof Aleph, as we go on. Even though we're in the Daf Yomi schedule, we're in the middle of a discussion, and it would be to our disadvantage to stop or pause it in the middle. We continue now at the top of Daf Chof Aleph. Tanya Nami Hachi. Tosfos explains, Pirush ki Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. We have a Tanaic source supporting that which Reish Lakish taught us, that only if you speak within the time frame of Kedei Dibor will you get attached. Mi shoma reini nozir, v'shoma chaveru, v'shoma Kedei Dibor v'amar v'ani. If you have a vower accepting Nazirus upon himself, and a bystander delaying, shah, he waits the amount of time that we explained already, Kedei Dibor, he waits that amount of time, then after that amount of time, he says, Vani. Well, it's too late. Who aser v'chavero mutter? This then would demonstrate Shitas Reish Lakish, and it would also appear to be a Tanaic source contrary to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya's position. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, even if there was a delay of Kedei Dibor, if you speak up immediately after Kedei Dibor, you still do get attached. And this source seems to indicate you don't get attached. V'kama Kedei Dibor, how long is that? Kedei Shela Shalom Talmud L'Rav, the amount of time it takes for a student to greet his rabbi. Leimo Misaye Alei. Can we suggest that our Mishnah supports Reish Lakish? Mi shomar hareini nozir, v'shoma chaveru v'omar v'ani v'ani. The original person vowed, he accepting Nazirus, and then the bystanders were there, and you have one person saying v'ani, a second person saying v'ani, v'sulo, and not any further than that. So the fact that the Mishnah has this very limited amount of, we'll say, attachings, that shows like Reish Lakish. Now I'm sure everyone would ask, what do you mean, how does this show Reish Lakish? According to Reish Lakish, three people could have attached. The Mishnah only says two. So we take a look in the Tosfos. Lei Masaya Lei Misha Marini Nazir. Tosfos goes on and says, Masnis and he, it's our Mishnah, V'kotoni Vani, V'su Lo. The Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya Motzi Lemisni Vani Vani Arba Pomim. According to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, you could have had four times Vani, and the Mishnah doesn't do that. So from the fact that the Mishnah doesn't do that, that would seem to support then Reish Lakish. V'im Tomer Rabbi Shimon Lakish Nami Nisni Vani Vani Shalosh Pomim. Well, according to Reish Lakish, how does the Mishnah support him? There, you don't see three times Vani. V'yesh Lomar. Tosfos explains, the Hochi Komar. The Gemara's intention is as follows. Bishlam Reb Shimon Lakish. Things work out well according to Reb Shimon Ben Lakish. Lo itzteri cholei lemisni ala shnei pomim vani. It's really sufficient to state vani twice. La ashminin de gam hasheni nitfas barishon. To tell us that the second vani sayer gets attached to the original vower. Shutoch kedei divor. The second vani is within the toch kedei divor time frame. Ve'afagav de emtsoi mafsik bediburo bein rishon lishlishi. Even though the middle one, that means the first vani sayer, he is an interposition, a block, a break between the original speech and the second vani sayer, the third person that's there. Nevertheless, the second vani guy gets attached. And the same thing would apply to a third guy that says vani. Yat Visperishan can attach himself to the original vow. The Einshum Svora Lechalik Ben Sheni Lishlishi. There is no reason, there's no logic to make any distinction between a second vani sayer and a third vani sayer. Shneim Oindem Toch Kedei Dibor. Both of them are within that time frame. So once you establish that a second vani sayer is able to lock into the Nazirus of the original speaker, there's no reason to think that the third guy would be any different. Therefore, the Mishnah's two vanis still support Reish Lakish, and there's no reason for thinking otherwise, just because the Mishnah doesn't mention a third vani. Aval Rabbeinu Nasiya iisa the Ravinami nitfas barishon. If Rabbeinu Nasiya is correct that a fourth person can attach himself to the original vower, listening, it should have been stated. This is certainly a novel point and has to be taught. And afagav d'shol kvar toch kedei dibur. Even there was already the delay. There was the lapse in time of kedei dibur. Kevan shu samuch le'altu kedei dibur. Since according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, since it's adjacent to, it's right next to the third va'ani, it's still good enough to get it in, get in under the wire, to get included in the original nazirus. So that should have been taught. That's a chiddush. Once again, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya represents a big chiddush, that even after the toch kedei dibur time frame, there still is a possibility of latching upon the original nazirus. Ah, so we have our mission would seem to be a support to Reish Lakish and a refutation of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. We continue in the Gemara. The Gemara says, no, this is not a definitive support to Reish Lakish. Tana ki ruchlo lech shivalezel. Is the Tana a spice merchant or a cosmetic merchant that has to display all his wares? That's a literal translation. But what this means is that it's not necessary for the mission to spell out every single vani. It said vani, vani, and it gets you into the idea of a chain acceptance of Nazirus. And it could, Tosfos says the mission could have said four vanis, but it didn't bother doing that because of this idea that the Tana is not expected to display all his wares, to say every last one. The Gemara asks, oh, so if it's not upon the Mishnah to spell out every last one, v'lisni chad v'shemin and hachi, so then let the Mishnah just say one vani, and we'll figure out that you can have a few more people getting attached. If the Mishnah doesn't represent something that's precise in this context, then one vani should have sufficed. The Gemara says, hachinami, you know, you're really correct. It would have been enough if the whole purpose of the Mishnah was to convey the idea that successive individuals can latch upon the original Nazirus, one vani would have been enough to convey that point. So why did the Mishnah bother saying two vanis? Umishum de katoni seifa, because the seifa had a law, a teaching with that. Without the additional vani, we wouldn't be able to understand things. What does it say in the Seifa? Huter harishon, if the original vower had an absolution of his nazirus, hutru kulan, then all of them, all that followed, will be released as well. Huter ha'acharon, ha'acharon mutav kulan asurin. If the last one had his nazirus absolved, he alone is absolved, and the rest, those that were before him, remain bound. So from the fact that the Mishnah speaks in these terms about a first one and a last one and the results of their respective absolution, the Gemara continues, Michlal Deika and Tsoi, it must be that there's a middle guy also. So that the Mishnah can speak about an original vow being rescinded, then all that follow, the next guy and the guy after. So what do you see? When we say the next guy, he's the middle guy, and the guy after is the last guy. So in order to explain the Mishnah, this in order for the Seifa to make sense, making this assumption, or actually this answer, that there must be a middle guy, so mishum hachi katoni vani vani, that's why the Reisha said, in addition to the original speaker, that there were two more people there, so that we can focus on a middle guy. We create a middle guy. The first vani sayer is the middle guy, and the halacha Lemaiser, the nafkamina that the Mishnah teaches in the Seifa, is now clearly understood. At this point, the Gemara raises the question that we introduced earlier, and on the side of the Morevano say a topic heading, Echot Shinozar, person accepted a Nazirus vow. Vachirim Omru Vani. And there were those standing by that said Vani. Haim kol echot matbis b'chaveru shekodam lo o matbis b'rishon. By saying Vani, what is their intention? Is their intention to attach themselves to the original speaker or to the individual immediately before them? The Gemara. Now note that the opening question is a long question. Ibayalaho. Chad bechavrei matfis. Is it such that each successive individual is attaching himself to the immediate previous individual? Oidilmo bekamo mitfisi. Or do we say that all those standing there that are saying vani are attaching themselves to the original vower? Lamai nafgamina. What practical difference does this analysis present? Latfusi umezel. Can the chain continue? Can they keep going on and on? Iamris chad b'chavrei matfis. If you say that everyone that's saying vani has in mind to attach himself to the immediate preceding individual, so that for any succeeding individual, we'll say the source for his vow is the immediate preceding individual. Hence, the successive one is attaching himself to the one that immediately preceded. If that is the analysis, that if that's chad b'chavrei matfis, then matfisin v'azlin lo'ilam. The chain can continue ad infinitum. V'i'amris b'kama mitfisi. If you say that attachment by subsequent speakers is strictly to the original vower, then tfei michtei dibor lo matfisin, then any more than the amount of time of kidei dibor, you cannot have attachment. My. So what is the halacha? As we pointed out earlier, up till this point where the Gemara is asking the question, it would have seemed that the subsequent vowers are attaching themselves to the original vower. But here we have to wipe the slate clean and embark on an analysis without any preconceived ideas. So, Toshma, we have a marking scheme. You'll notice on the side under the Mivneh heading, triangles appear in two directions, and we highlight the word Toshma. These are Hoychochos L'Shnei HaEfshorios. These are attempts to prove one or the other of the suggestions. With the triangle point facing up, Bekamo, means we're going to prove at that point, try to prove that it's a hatfos, an attachment to the original speaker. The inverted triangle represents the attempt on the part of the Gemara to demonstrate that one is attaching himself not to the original vower, but to the immediate preceding individual. Now the Gemara. Toshma hareini nozir v'shoma chavero v'yomar v'ani v'ani v'sulo midi. The Mishnah spoke about an original vower, and a first person, a first bystander said Vani, and a second bystander said Vani, and that's it. The Mishnah doesn't go on with additional people. Shma mino, from the fact that there seems to be a limited amount of people that can attach themselves, the Mishnah features only two, so it indicates us bekamahu de mitfasi. It must be that each subsequent speaker or sayer of Vani is attaching himself to the original speaker. If you were to think that one is attaching himself simply to the immediate preceding individual, listening to Vani, then the Mishnah shouldn't have been so frugal with its Vanis and taught many Vanis. The Gemara rejects this proof. Tana ki ruchlo lechshe velezo. Is it the job of a Tana to be like a spice merchant, demonstrating, presenting, displaying all his wares? No, the Mishnah, in fact, could very well have been understood as many, many bystanders were there, each one saying Vani, and they all would have been locked into the Nazirus, even though a lot of time lapsed since the original speaker spoke, because each subsequent speaker is attaching himself to the immediate preceding one and not the original one. The Gemara asks, well, if you're going to tell me that Tana is not expected to display all his wares and spell out many, many vanis, for listening, chai v'shmin and kulon, so why doesn't Mishnah just state one vani? And I can figure out all the rest. So that if you want to say that, in fact, each one does attach himself to the previous person, state one vani, and that will teach me about all others that follow. So why didn't the Mishnah use just one vani? The Gemara says, "Aidi de Kotani." We saw this before. Since the Seifa said, "Hutru Harishon, Hutru Kulan, Hutru Achron, Ho Achron Mutev V'Kulan Asurin," from the fact that the Mishnah spoke about vow absolution on the part of the first person, or vow absolution on the part of the last one, Michlal di Ikam Tzoi, that implies that there's a middle individual. Mishum Hachi Kotani Vani Vani. Therefore, it was important for the Mishnah to set up a case of three Nazirim, an original vower, and two more people, each one saying Vani, so I can speak about the absolution of the first one's vow, and the contrasting case of the absolution of the last one's vow, and what effect that has on the others. So I need to have two Vanis to establish three people, so I can have a middle individual to point to show the nafkamina between being Matir the first one's vow and being Matir the last one's vow. Toshma, Hutur Horishon Hutru Kulan. If the first one's vow is absolved, then all of the others' vows are absolved. Rishon Hu Deshoru Ho Emtsoi Lo. If it's the first one that has his vow absolved, so then it has the effect of releasing everyone else. But if it's the middle one, then no. Shma mino, this shows us that bekama matfisin, the subsequent vowers are attaching themselves to the original vow. So what have we inferred from this? That if the first one absolves his vow, then all those that come after him that had latched into him are also released, like a domino situation. But that's only in the case that the first one absolved, was shoyol on his nether, released his nazirus. Then all that came after him are released. However, let us say that a middle guy released his own vow. It doesn't say that those after him get released. Those that followed from him get released. So the conclusion, therefore, at this point is Shma Mino, but Kama Matfisin, that it must be that all of the people there were attaching themselves to the original vower. And therefore, if the middle guy is Matir, his neder, absolves his vow, it has no effect on those that came after him, because those that came after him were not attaching themselves to the previous one. They were attaching themselves to the original fellow. The Gemara rejects this. Emoloch, I will tell you that li'olam chad b'chavrei matfis, that really one person is attaching himself to the immediate previous individual. And you'll ask then, why does the Mishnah then feature the case of Hutur HaRishon? And it doesn't speak about a Hutur Emtsoi. The Aidi Deboi Misna Hutur Hutru Kulon. Let's just skip the bracketed section for a second. Mishum Hochi Kotoni Rishon. The Mishnah had an agenda. It wanted to feature a case where everyone would be released. How do you create a situation where everyone there is released? That's only in a case where the first one absolves his vow, has his vow absolved. Let's now go over the Gemara again with the bracketed section. The Aidi Deboi Misna Hutru Kulon. Now the brackets. Dei Tana Emtsoi. If the Mishnah had spoken about the middle one having his vow released, truth is that all those that followed after him would also be released. However, Iko Rishon Delo Mishteri, the previous one, the first one, in the case of the middle guy absolving himself, those that preceded him would not be released. And therefore, I wouldn't be able to teach Hutru Kulan. And the Mishnah wants to teach Hutru Kulan, Mishum Hachi Kotani, Rishon. Therefore, the Mishnah used that example. But that example of Hutur Rishon is not exclusionary of a case of Hutur Hemtsoi and having those that followed him also get released. So, at this point, even though we try to conclude that Bekama Matfesin, at this point, not necessarily could vary B'chad B'chavrei. Toshma. Note, we have an inverted triangle. So here, we're going to try to show, really, Chad B'chavrei Matfes. Toshma, Hutur Ho'achron. The Mishnah spoke about if the last person had his vow absolved, so Ho'achron Mutur V'kulan Asurin. He alone is released, but anyone that had vowed prior to him is still bound to the Nazirus. And we infer, Achron hu delo iko achrino basrei. We say that Kulan Asurin is because, well, the guy that absolved himself happened to be the last guy. There's no one after him. Aval emtsoi di iko achrino basrei. The middle guy, who has people that followed him, that come after him, mystery. Then they, all those that follow the middle guy, would be released. In the case of the Entsoi, where there are others after him, the Mishnah wouldn't have been able to say what it said in the case of Hutur Achron. It would not have been able to say Hutur Hu V'kulan Asurin. Why? Because in a case of the Emtsoi having the vow released, not only does he get released, but those that followed him also get released. So what do we see from this inference? Shma Mino Chad B'chavrei Matfis. It shows us that each subsequent person is attaching himself to the previous individual, not the very first guy. The Gemara says, "Li'olam eimaloch bekama matvesin." I will tell you that as far as the Mishnah is concerned, really, they're all attaching themselves to the original vower. Umay acharon dekotoni. The Mishnah that used the word acharon, who is that a reference to? Emtsoi. It's a reference to the middle guy. Now, let's just go back to the quote, the last Tanaic quote. It said, Hutur Achron. And we're understanding that mean the middle guy. And it says, Ho'achron Mutur V'kulan Asurin. He alone is Mutur, but all the others, even those that come after him, are still bound. Why are they still bound? Because of what we're suggesting now. Because those that came after him didn't attach themselves to the middle guy, or to the one immediately before. Rather, they were attaching themselves to the original vower. And he didn't have his vow absolved. So you might ask then, if the word Achron is a reference to Emtsoi, why does it not use the word Emtsoi? The Aidi de Tono Rishon Tono Achron. And since the Tana used initially the word Rishon, you can see we have an arrow, and you can align it with the arrow above where you saw that term appear, and it actually appeared higher up on the page also. Since the Tana used the word Rishon Tono Achron, in contrast, it's a stylistic consideration, in contrast to use the word Achron, but it's not to be understood as referring specifically to the very last person. Even in the case of a middle person having his vow absolved, he alone would be absolved, and those that came after would not, because they were attaching themselves to the very first guy. Toshma. Once again, an inverted triangle indicating that we want to try to prove chad b'chavrei, that each person attached himself to the immediate preceding one and not the original vower. So, toshma, the sanya behedya, we have a source that is explicit. Hutur harishon hutru kulan. If the first vow is released, all that follow are released. Huter ho'achron, ho'achron muter v'kulan asurin. If the last guy, and here we're saying literally the last guy, because in the next phrase you'll see we have a middle guy. So here this phrase speaks about the Huter ho'achron, the last guy has his vow absolved, then ho'achron muter v'kulan asurin. He alone is released, but all the others are forbidden. Huter emtsoi, and here is where we get particularly interested. If a middle guy has his vow absolved, heimenu ulamata muter, heimenu ulamala osir. From him onwards, downwards, they are absolved because of the domino idea. If middle guy absolves himself, the guy that vowed immediately after him was hooking into him. So his vow falls away, and the guy after that was linking himself to the guy immediately before, whose vow just got absolved, and down the line. So that's from the Emtsoi onwards, they're released. And Heimenu Lamala, but all those that preceded the Emtsoi, preceded the middle guy, also, they remain bound. So Shma Minoh, from this configuration, we see Chad B'Chavrei Matfis. Each person saying Vani is linking himself into the immediate preceding individual, Shma Minoh. So this is conclusive. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.